Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. You're listening to 50,000 watt AM 670 KLTT, the most powerful Christian station in America. Thank you for your comments about last week's interview with the president of the AFA, the American Family Association, on their project to get strict constructionist judges nominated by George W. Bush. We had an interesting conversation, and here at Bob and Yurt Live, we urge the AFA to maybe not beat around the bush as much and be more forthright and say what we really want are judges who are against the killing of unborn children and who know that homosexuality is harmful, and judges who are pro-Christian and not anti-Christian. So we can call them strict constructionists, but those are the kinds of judges who wrote the Dred Scott decision in the 1850s. So anyway, it was an interesting conversation with the AFA, and thank you for your comments. And today we're too busy, but feel free to call in on that topic later in the week. And I have two questions that I'd like to ask an expert. The first is, why should Christians pull their kids out of public schools? Why? And the second is, why should non-Christians pull their kids out of public schools? You may recall the Southern Baptist resolution that was offered at their convention last year, calling for parents to do just that and pull their kids out of the public school system. Well, Bruce Short, a friend of Bob and Yurt Live, has followed up that Christian education resolution with a tremendous new book. What a book. The Harsh Truth About Public Schools. And one of my favorite national ministers is D. James Kennedy. And Kennedy says that Bruce Short's book, and I'll quote him, presents an idea whose time has come. Now, that's true. Well, I'd add that it came about 100 years ago. But yeah, the idea, all right, let me stick with D. James Kennedy's quote. Bruce Short's book presents an idea whose time has come. Modern public education in America has too often degenerated into indoctrination in secular humanism. This book presents the solution to the problem. Now, if you send your kids to public school, or if you have loved ones, young relatives who are going to public school, you'll want to hear every man this word says and writes. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. Bruce Short, can you please tell us, why should Christian parents pull their kids out of public schools?
Well, the short answer, Bob, is that the public schools are killing our children spiritually, morally, and academically. Mm. And I think it's about time that we as Christians start asking ourselves, just how dead do we want our children to be?
That's pretty rough. And at Denver Bible Church, we can relate to that. We have a beautiful cross in the front of our church, and it was made by Brian Rohrbaugh, a Columbine dad whose son Danny was killed at Columbine. And Brian is an incredible Christian. He did the show for me just a few weeks ago. And on the show, he said the tragedy that he experienced to the greatest degree is that he was involved with the public school system and he lost his son. And he urges other parents who have the opportunity to save their kids in more ways than one and get them out of the public schools.
Well, the key thing I think parents need to understand is that the theology behind this is really quite simple. And for the first 200 years of America, our educational tradition was Christian education. Mm. And it wasn't until the early part of the 20th century that this thing that we call the public school system finally triumphed as a result of the efforts mainly of Unitarians and secular humanists. And now what we consider to be normal has become so pathological that it's literally destroying not only our children, but our culture, our economy, and virtually everything else that it impinges on. In fact, there have been recent articles in the Wall Street Journal by CEOs of the CEO of IBM, and then one by the CEO of Intel, basically saying that the schools are doing such a disastrous job in math and science that our economic position in the world is imperiled. A famous historian testified before the Senate last February saying that the historical literacy of our children and our teachers is so bad now that it's a national security risk. We no longer know who we are. So it cuts across a broad range of things, but it really brings me back to Matthew 7, 15 through 20, basically where Jesus is saying, you know a thing by its fruit. You know a tree by its fruit. A good tree bears good fruit. Mm. A bad tree bears bad fruit. And the problem with the public school system is that the fruit is not only bad, it's rotten. And the reason that it's rotten is because it's a deliberate act of disobedience on the part of Christians in this country.
When we look at the academic standards and what's happened in the public schools, that's just considering that as sort of a two-edged issue, because I've often pointed out if I could click my fingers and just dramatically improve the academic performance of our public schools, I wouldn't click my finger and do it, because it's really important that people realize that the school system is godless and it's amoral. And if you have really intelligent, great whiz kid at math and science and grammar, but their moral foundation has been undermined, you haven't helped those kids any.
And that's exactly right. I mentioned the academic side of it because that's the side that is typically getting the most press. I wouldn't describe the public schools as amoral. I would say that they are positively immoral. They are inculcating in our children false and destructive values. Mm. Probably the most obvious example of that is the proliferation of homosexual clubs within the schools. And virtually every school in this country has some sort of program or curriculum that is designed to mainstream acceptance of homosexuality as just another way of being.
Mm-hmm. This past week, I interviewed a mayor from New Jersey who's running for governor back there. Well, he's a Republican candidate wannabe for governor. And in the neighboring state, they have Pennsylvania. There's kids can't get an abortion. They can't leave the school and get an abortion. That's against the law with the school helping them. And some girl was in her second trimester, and the school not only helped her leave the school during the school day so the parents wouldn't know, but they arranged to transport her across state lines to get a second trimester abortion in New Jersey. And the parents have won a lawsuit against the school district, and now the abortion mill in Cherry Hills, New Jersey, has settled. But we've seen it here too, Bruce. Not far from our Bob and Ert Live studio is Adams City High School. And it made national news about maybe 12 years ago that they had 108 babies born in 1 year to the students, the girls at Adams City High School. And that school has about between 1,000 and 2,000 kids. That's 108 babies born in 1 year.
Well, one of the things that you discover when you start looking into the matter of the values that the schools are inculcating in the children is that the schools also have the attitude that parents really ought to stay out of the process, that the schools, those who control the schools, are the ones who are going to direct the moral training of the children. Mm-hmm. And there are great efforts that they go to basically keep parents out of the loop. The example that you just gave is unfortunately not uncommon. In fact, in California, there is a state law basically that provides for a legal shield to allow the schools to do things with young students, and I'm talking about students who may be in junior high school, without the parents' knowledge. And there are similar regulations and rules and statutes in other parts of the country. Mm. So, it's the trust that we unthinkingly give to this institution is something that really needs to be reevaluated. People, and parents in particular, need to be aware of what the facts actually are.
Well, Bruce Short, again, we're speaking with the author of The Harsh Truth About Public Schools and the co-sponsor of the resolution at the Southern Baptist Convention, Christian Education Resolution, urging parents to pull their kids out of the public schools. Bruce, I resigned as vice chair of a district accountability committee, and it was District 14 in the Denver suburbs where this high school was that 108 babies were born in 1 year. And when I resigned – I wrote a resignation letter that was printed by a couple local newspapers. And 3 years later, the Rocky Mountain News, when they printed this headline, it was covered around the country that 108 babies were born in 1 year. They republished, they reran my resignation letter where I had resigned because the school decided they were going to give out condoms. And the parents came in mass to the school board meetings and completely objected. And the school board couldn't care less what the parents said. They did not want parental involvement. And I was, again, I was the vice chair of the district accountability committee and for the district that has this Adams City High School. And I saw the superintendent state in a meeting. He actually stood up. This is a few weeks later. He was standing up speaking, and when he got to the part about they had a daycare, a child care center in the school, and when he got to the part about we give out condoms to the kids, he actually stood up on his toes and threw his arms up in the air like he was elated. He said, and at our high school, we even give out condoms to the kids. And 3 years later, 108 babies were born in 1 year. In my resignation letter, I predicted, based on the research, the number of girls having sex and the number of babies born and the number of abortions will all increase because you're giving out condoms. They're not going to decrease.
Well, I mean, that's true. And the illegitimacy rate is only part of it. I mean, the Guttmacher Institute is projecting that fully 50% of our young people will contract a venereal disease by age 25.
Hmm.
50%. Now, that, of course, means, and a lot of these children, of course, are being taught in schools, that somehow promiscuous sex can be made safe. But what they don't realize is that many of those girls who are looking forward to having families will never have families because many of those diseases will render them infertile.
Mm-hmm.
So there are just many, many facets to that. But let me just make a couple of comments. First of all, one of the things that's different about this book is that it really focuses on the fruit of the tree. Unfortunately, parents and pastors have proven all too immune to the obvious theological, biblical doctrine that governs the way that we ought to be educating our children. And so the main thrust of this book is to show people, we have sown the wind and we are reaping the whirlwind.
Mm.
And it looks at it from the standpoint not merely of what it does to our children spiritually, morally, and academically, but it also goes into the issue of school violence, the fact that, frankly, our public school system is the largest drug pusher in the world.
Well, in other words, all the kids on Ritalin and the other
exactly the psychotropic drugs. That to my shock, when I was doing the research, no one has any idea what the long-term consequences are of taking small children and putting them on what essentially is the same thing pharmacologically as speed for 10 or 15 years. And, there are hundreds of thousands of prescriptions being written for this stuff for children as young as 5 and 6.
And a lot, we had a parent just a couple weeks ago say, my kid was told to, I'm supposed to go to the doctor and get, and no, I'm supposed to go buy Ritalin and we haven't even talked to a doctor. She said, basically the school prescribed Ritalin for my kid. The Detroit News published a statistic a couple years ago that there's 11.4 million kids on Ritalin in America. Is that possibly true?
Yes. Yeah, unfortunately, it is not only possibly true. I think it's probably a very good ballpark estimate.
And
nobody
then,
knows for sure.
And then to see suicide is the number two killer of young people in America, I mean, it seems to me that those two statistics probably go together.
Now, when I say 11.4 million on Ritalin, it may be Ritalin or Adderall
right.
or some of the others. But
right.
in any event, they are the drugs that are literally being pushed through the schools. And as you start digging into it, what you find is it would appear that a lot of this is really just a substitute for old-fashioned discipline.
Exactly.
You cannot discipline children in the schools. Parents, as they have become, unfortunately, increasingly sort of secularized through the school systems that they went through, no longer discipline the children at home.
ADD is adult discipline disorder.
Yes.
That's what we call it.
Absent dad, absent husband disorder, according to some.
ADHD. Yeah, and so the parents, the school officials, they want to have it both ways. They say, well, you can't blame the schools. You have to blame the parents. And the point you just made is so on target that these parents all learned how to raise kids and how to be parents from the public schools.
Yep.
That's how they became such bad parents, so that today the kids that we describe as, well, he's a good kid, that's the brat of yesterday. Yesterday, the really bad kids are the ones we say today, well, he's a good kid.
Yep. Well, let me drag this back to the group of or the institution that is probably least happy about what I'm saying, and that's the church. As you may recall, T.C. Pinckney and I introduced a resolution for consideration at the 2004 annual meeting of the Southern Baptist Convention, which, had it been adopted, would have encouraged Baptist parents to take their children out of public schools. The president of the SBC at that time was a pastor named Jack Graham, and he, among others, went to some lengths to make sure that our resolution wasn't reported out of committee,
right,
basically siding with people who were saying, well, you know, not all school districts are the same. There are, you know, maybe some of these problems in those blue state school districts, but, you know, in the South where, you know, things are more conservative, everything's basically okay.
Yeah, our schools are good. We hear that.
Yeah,
all
our
the
schools
time.
Are different.
Yeah.
Well, you know, some of your listeners may also recall that there was a, you know, the most outrageous anti-Christmas school story of the season.
Yeah, we reported on this, but we want to hear it directly from you, Bruce.
Was from the Plano schools.
Right.
Well, guess where Jack Graham's megachurch is?
Megachurch in the Plano school district.
Yeah, I would say probably 20, 25,000 members. You have to understand that Plano school district and Plano are in Collin County, which is probably one of the reddest, if not the reddest, counties in one of the reddest states in the Union.
Right.
It is overrun with conservatives,
yeah,
and evangelical Christians. In fact, I think Chuck Swindoll's church is not far from the Plano School District as well. And yet, you know, even though you have Christians throughout that school district, from you know, the lowliest employee to the top of the school board,
right,
it required a court order. No, we're not talking about allowing the children to sing Christmas carols, it turns out. That's not allowed. We're not talking about even being able to call the Christmas party the Christmas party anymore.
No, no,
that's not allowed.
Not.
It's called a holiday party.
Right.
It was down to the point of, you know, prohibiting, the school was prohibiting children from giving other children gifts that made reference to Jesus. And beyond that, they were prohibiting children from bringing even napkins or anything else that had red and green colors, which might suggest Christmas.
They couldn't. Now, this is hysterical. This is, well, it'd be hysterical if it wasn't so wicked. The kids were not allowed to bring napkins to the school that had red and green on them because that would imply Christmas, as though it's not a national holiday, Christmas. The beautiful people are so intolerant and hateful and bigoted against Christianity that that's the extent of their intolerance.
But here are the two points that the parents listening to this need to understand. First of all, even though this school district, which should have been the poster child for the claim, but our schools are different.
Right.
This school district, despite all of the Christians, despite all the conservatives, the Christians had exactly no influence. It demonstrates it absolutely clearly.
Right.
Nobody's got a better school district than that school district from the standpoint of allegedly being Christian friendly.
Yeah.
That's how bad it is. The second point is, even a major national figure, a pastor who is a major national figure, who expresses opinions on the subject of educating Christian children in public schools, has no idea what he's talking about.
Mm.
And that is true of 90% of pastors out there. And unfortunately, they may not like hearing it, but it's the truth. And so, you know, I would challenge any parent or pastor who doubts me, read the book. I've got 100 pages of footnotes.
Yeah, what an excellent book, too. The Harsh Truth About Public Schools by Bruce Shure. Bruce, where's the best place to get this book?
The best place to find it right now is at exodusmandate.org. That's the website for our ministry, Exodus Mandate, which is devoted to educating parents about the need to bring our children out of these public schools.
All right. Hey, if we were to ask, let's say, this megachurch pastor or any Christian parents, if we were to ask them, do your children deserve a godless formal education? I mean, how could they possibly answer that question yes? How could any Christian leader, pastor, or parent say, my kids deserve a godless formal education, and that's what I'm giving them? How is that possible for them to think that way?
Well, of course, what they'll do is they'll deny it. They'll say that what they've essentially done is accepted, I think without even realizing it in many cases, what I call compartmentalization.
Yeah.
You know, Christianity is something that we do at certain times, and education is somehow neutral. And, of course, education, and this is a point I make in the book, is not neutral. All education is religious. That is, all education proceeds from a worldview. The public schools are awash in theology. It's just not Christian theology.
Yeah, it's atheistic and humanistic theology.
And New Age. There are a lot of New Age influences in the public schools. John Ankerberg, for example, has wrote a book about 12 years ago called Thieves of Innocence, which goes through, you know, just hundreds of pages on the influences that, or the inroads that the New Agers have made into the schools. And the schools have been very accommodating to that. So,
well, and also they're very friendly to Islam and any Eastern religion, but hostile to biblical Christianity.
And that's also exactly true. So there's lots of theology in schools, but I call it, you know, I say that they operate on the ABC principle, anything but Christianity. And so, you know, unfortunately, most parents and pastors don't realize that that's the case. And second of all, they somehow think that if they just, you know, give the children a little Jesus on Wednesdays and Sundays, and allegedly perhaps some Bible study at home in the evenings,
yeah,
that it will overcome,
right,
40, 50 hours of indoctrination and socialization into what is essentially a pagan culture.
Yeah, and these schools, they do admit that, even if it's not true, you're pointing out paganism and humanism, atheism, this is all part of their curriculum, but they admit that it's a godless curriculum. That, I mean, they say that, even though it's pagan, they'll say that. And so for Christian parents, it'd be like in the Old Testament, the Jews sending their kids to a Philistine school, getting on a Philistine chariot, saying, bye, kids, we'll see you later today. I mean, back then, when God was interacting differently with his people, I think he would have opened up the ground and sucked down the village into hell if they sent their kids to a Philistine school.
Well, you know, as I said, when you start looking at the fruit of what we're doing, can it be all that much different from being sucked down into hell?
Wow.
When you look at what's happening to our children. Just consider, you know, we are living in a very complex society that relies on a great deal of inherited capital.
Right.
You know, that's spiritual capital,
moral
capital,
right,
you know, economic capital.
In other words,
so
people
on
are good because their parents built up a foundation of moral living. But after a few generations of undermining that, kids are beginning to fall apart.
They are falling apart, and all you have to do is look at what's coming out of the schools today and what's in the pipeline, and you realize, as I pointed out at the very beginning, as some of the people in business and in academia are realizing, that the people that are coming out are not capable of sustaining the culture or the civilization or the economy in which we live.
Wow.
Because, you know, frankly, again, just to go back to the example of, David McCullough's testimony before the Senate. You know, we don't know who we are. We're creating. We are basically creating a generation that has historical amnesia and cultural amnesia. The only way that the average teenager here knows the difference between being in the United States and Bulgaria is because there's a difference in the languages spoken and the quality of the shopping malls.
Right.
They have no idea about the principles on which this country was founded, let alone the role that Christianity played in the founding of this country.
Yeah, and I know that at the beginning of the show I mentioned the academic issue is secondary, but I went 8 years to a private school, my first 8 years, and then I went 4 years public high school. And Bruce, it was I'd call it review, only we never even covered the things I learned through eighth grade. I mean, the academics was so despicable at Manchester Regional High School in New Jersey. And I remember on our prom weekend, after the prom the next day, we all went to the beach. We're swimming in the ocean, and I had the notion to ask this question. There are maybe four or five girls from our graduating class out in the ocean. I asked them, what are we swimming in? What body of water is this? And they said, it's the ocean. I said, yes, what ocean? What's the name of it? And they could not answer the question. And we were on the coast of New Jersey, maybe 30 miles north of Atlantic City, at least. They didn't know we were in the Atlantic Ocean. And because geography was not taught. I mean, kids don't know whether something is a city, a state, a country, a continent.
Well, you know, Bob, maybe I let you off a little too easy on the academic.
Yeah, you did. You did.
Because it's not just
it's evidence.
Lack of knowledge. It's the fact that when we educate our children, they need to have an honest education, and that
right.
means they need to be educated from a Christian worldview.
Right.
And so, you know, when they're learning history, it's important that they get honest history, which, you know, is history that shows the hand of providence.
Right.
In the outworking of history. You can't begin to understand the founding of this country unless you understand theology. It's just simply impossible. Theology was critical to, you know, the motivations and the actions of the people who came here,
Bruce,
and the subsequent things that they did, following. You can't understand the 19th century
Bruce,
without understanding the changes in Christian thinking and so on and so forth.
What a great point. Now we're completely out of time, but Bruce Shore, I want to let people know ExodusMandate.org is where they can get the book. That's the best place to get it right now. The Harsh Truth About Public Schools. And what an honor to have you on, Bruce. And we'd like to have you on again in the future and let us know how the book is doing.
Bob, it's always a pleasure to be with you, and I look forward to coming back.
All right. God bless you. That's Bruce Short, co-sponsor of the resolution at the Southern Baptist Convention, the Christian Education Resolution. Get your kids out of the public schools. And guess what? Even if you're not a Christian, the schools are destructive. You need to reconsider the claims of Jesus Christ and start homeschooling or send your kids to a Christian school. Hey, we're out of time. Let me tell you, Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada, 20 beautiful acres, 100 staff members, Christ-centered, all for your kids, 431-5653.